John chapter 2. It is the day. It's Mother's Day. I got a text from Amy and she says, how comes you're here, not here already? And I said, well, hang on. I got to bless some other moms today. And she says, well, I'm selfish. And I went like, that's all right. It's okay. I'll be there. Yes, I'll be heading over there after service. So to go and stay a couple days with them this week. And I haven't been over there in almost 3 weeks. So. Yeah, long time. But Josh did hog the show there for a little while. He went over there for a week, so we couldn't both go at the same time because he had my car. It's kind of difficult for me to get over there. But happy Mother's Day. Do you know that Mother's Day is the third most celebrated holiday after Christmas and Easter? In fact, 145 million cards and climbing will have been sent. $14.6 billion will be spent on you. Do you feel it? No. Lot of cash, right? On gifts and dinners. 69% of that $14.6 million will be spent on flowers. So you know what day a florist makes most of their money? On Mother's Day, they make most of their money. It's a special day, right? And at the end of service, we have these little plants that you can put in a pot, and we want you to take home a plant, before you leave. We don't have pots with them. We do have the plants. And I'm not trying to sell you on pot either. We can have fun. We can have fun, right? That probably wouldn't go over well either, so I won't try and sell you on that. But I think that if I haven't told you enough that you're amazing ladies and great moms, and I hope that... your family is telling you thanks, because I don't think that sometimes we say thanks enough. Now, this isn't me, but I read a story about a husband. I want to clarify this. This isn't me, right? Who was feeling guilty one year. I try and do my best to love on my wife year-round, but, you know, when it's Mother's Day, you got to normally do what's best and make sure that she gets flowers and all that. This year, she's not getting flowers because by the time I get there, it isn't going to matter, and she can't have flowers in the hospital in Zach's room. They can't have flowers at the apartment, so it really doesn't matter. So, whew, I get out of flowers. But I did buy her this cute little stuffed bunny that says, I love you, and so I think she'll like that. And if Zach will let us, maybe I'll take her out for supper tonight. I don't know. We'll see. If you'll let me go once I'm there. He's very needy. He wants people there. And you can understand, you know, almost bringing to the place of where he was that right now he's emotionally needs attachment to people. And but one year this husband was feeling guilty and he was feeling guilty about not being attentive to his wife. So he decided he was going to change. How many of you guys have made that commitment year after year? I'm going to change this year. Except for Harold, right? He loved Sue. I love my wife too. I don't, she knows that. I call her beautiful all the time and sometimes I say it in the inappropriate places and she, just like we were in Belong Group on Friday night, and I will get to this story. I will. And they FaceTime us. If you know what FaceTime is on Apple, you can call through video, right? And so they called and they said hi, and then my wife started making goofy faces at me, so I was making goofy faces back at her, and And all of a sudden I notice, and everybody's just looking at me. There was no sound, and they go like, I'll go, oh, honey, we better stop that. We're loving on each other too much. I mean, that's all. I mean, she's there. I'm here, and you know, and she was. Anyway, she said it was good to see you laugh. You know, we haven't laughed for a while, and it was good to laugh and to have fun. And but this gentleman, he brought on his way home. He brought home a box of candy, some flowers to surprise his wife. He walks up to the doorbell instead of just walking in, and he waits for his wife to answer the door. She comes, she answers the door, she sees her husband standing there with candy in one hand and flowers in the other, and he begins to sing the song, "Have I Told You Lately How Much I Love You?" Instantly, the lady starts crying. Just bawling. You know, has your wife ever given you those big alligator tears? Right? In the eyes, and you're like, ah. And she says, "Oh, you don't know what went wrong today. Everything went wrong. We had a leak in the plumbing. The kids were terrible. The house is a wreck. And now you've come home drunk." I think we need to treat our moms a whole lot better than that, right? Yeah. Once a year is not enough. We need to tell our moms and our wives and you know how much we love them and appreciate them. Here's some pictures of my wife. I'll get out of the way. See the mustache? Yeah, she did that. That's her. She's creative. Next one. There's Shaggy and Jimmy, and you see the little bunny rabbit? Gail found those. Remember, Gail, when you found those bunnies out? He was mowing, and do you know on Facebook, that picture is of all my pictures is the most one that has been looked at, and it actually has over 5,000 hits on it or something like that. It's like other people have. It's crazy. Next one. There's Josh and Zach and Amy, and there she is. You know, she's like, this is what I want for Mother's Day. Or maybe it was Valentine's Day. I can't remember. Next. There's Zach with Jim, and there's Amy outside. You can see some of the pictures. I don't know where we were there. They weren't in our house. That was an anniversary meal that we went to when we were in Palm Springs, and there's Josh or Zach and Amy at IKEA. Next one. There's her bigger than coffee mug in Texas. She's gonna shoot me for showing you all these pictures. There we are again. That's her sister Kathy. Ever been to Texas? Ever been to Buc-ee's? Buc-ee's is this convenience store like Maverick times four. So every Buc-ee's has something like 25 gas stalls. And inside it's like a mini Walmart. I'm seriously. So you can get gas and go in there and get junk that you'll never ever need again. Right? And food, different kinds of food. Jerky. There's a whole wall of just jerky. I'm like, I didn't know they made so much beef jerky. But Texans must like beef jerky. I don't know. Here's some pictures of some other moms. There's Bev, and that was a mother, a lady's tea. I think it was last year or the year before. I can't remember. Go on. Is there another one? There we go. There's Lisa choking her granddaughter. That was one Easter. She wouldn't listen, so she immediately grabs her neck, right? Barb doing it. There's some other ladies. Pat, there's Doris. And if you don't have a picture up here, I think that's it, right? If you don't have a picture up here, then you better get one with me so I can post it next year, right? or get one from Patty. Patty took pictures. I can post them because I like honoring our moms and those in our church who are amazing, because you're all amazing. Mom, you can say to yourself today, I'm amazing. Come on, because God's saying it right now. He's saying, you're amazing. Sometimes we can, you know, it's hard to walk through days like this because of pain or loss or whatever, but I know that God can give us all the grace and the strength to do it. And you know, over the past years, I've used Mother's Day as an opportunity to talk about famous ladies in the Bible, and so this year I'm going to talk about Mary, Jesus' mother. So how many of you in John chapter 2? Because we see this interesting story about Jesus and his mother at a family wedding, right? We don't know exactly which member of the family was getting married, but we know that his mother Mary felt something responsible for the reception, okay? So if it would have been just anybody's wedding, it wouldn't have been a big deal. She wouldn't have been a part of it. But since it was somebody they knew, she was there, she was in the background, she was doing stuff. Mary felt responsible. And in those days, the groom's family bore the responsibility for the wedding celebrations. If you're in John chapter 2, you can follow along. It says on verse 1, on the third day a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So this was something that Jesus was just beginning out his ministry. And for most of us, weddings are a big deal. A lot of the ladies, can I ask you a question, ladies? How many of you have had your wedding planned out before you came even close to that? No? Nobody? Barb, yeah. Barb, you had a binder. She's organized. Like, she probably had a three-ring binder with PowerPoint presentation, right? Oh, no. No, that's right. No PowerPoint back then. I know, the husbands, us husbands, we're just, you know, we don't count, right? In our society, the guy's just got to make sure he looks halfway decent when he's standing next to the wife, right? That's all she cares about, huh? Not everybody. Oh, it's their wedding too. Yes. Is that different in the Mexican culture?
Well, I think it depends on the person.
Okay.
The person wants to do or wants the wife to take, you know, to do everything. My sons are very
in my country hick background where I grew up in northern Minnesota and back in the sticks, right? My wife decided that I probably didn't have the knowledge to fulfill everything she needed in her wedding, so she decided that she would do it. My thing was just to show up in a halfway decent looking outfit, right? So if you can imagine this, I decided I wanted a baby blue tux.
Oh my! And it went right along with the colors.
Well, kind of did, because maybe it was, but well, a baby blue leisure suit, and Bev said that was okay. No, no. That's right. I haven't goofed up too many weddings, but I was at a wedding about 2 or 3 years ago, the guy who was doing the wedding, the pastor was doing the wedding, went through it all. It was a nice wedding. And all of a sudden at the end, he's, you know, I pronounce you man and wife, and he begins to walk off the stage. What's the most important thing that seals the deal? Okay, you can kiss the bride. And he was halfway off when he realized he forgot you can kiss the bride. Because there's the bride and the groom still standing there going like this, you know. And so he rushes back up, kiss the bride, you know. And I would want to crawl into a hole somewhere and pastor, a friend of mine told me a story of how he did two weddings for the same guy. His first wife, this gentleman's first wife, passed away, and so he was doing the wedding for his second wife. And as they were going through the wedding, you know what happened? He called the new bride the name of the old wife. Yikes. That's all I could say. See, back in Jesus' time, weddings weren't just a 2 or 3 or 4 hour event. They were a week long or more event of them just coming from all over to this wedding by camel, by cart, by golf cart. Who knows how they got there? They would get there. They'd walk there. And it took a long time for some of them to get from one spot to the other. And so a wedding wasn't just this short period of time. And in verse 3 it says, when the wine was gone, Mary said to them, they have no more wine. So by this time, Jesus is there, right? There's a problem. She's a part of this. And they're out, right? They're out of wine. And I'm sure some of you are wondering if they were drinking real wine or they were drinking Welch's grape juice. Now, that there's a whole series I could do on that. But I'm not going to waste it on you this morning, right? But the Bible distinguishes between choice and wine. And something that I've done research on is that if Jesus were to have made this a fermented wine so that people could get drunk, it would go against all the character of the Bible. It would go against Jesus' character, right? So this wasn't just Welch's grape juice. This was the good. This was a sweet, super sweet juice. And so they were there. And Jesus is standing there, and she's looking at her son, and in verse 3, John writes, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And he looks at her, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. And in some ways, this is kind of rude, isn't it? But in the original Greek, Jesus is saying, mom, you don't understand, it's not my time, right? It is not my time. And you know what she's saying? She's saying to Jesus, listen, son, I know you don't think it's the right time, but I need your help. And in the culture of the Jewish culture, to run out of wine at a wedding would have done this incredible damage to their credibility. It would have been a terrible event for them to run out of anything there at the wedding. And so she looks at the servants and she says, do whatever he tells you to do. How many times did your mother tell you something to do? And did my two boys, when I told one son to do something, he normally did it.
And the other one?
He didn't. Or, this is what would happen. The one would say, yes, I'll do it, and then not do it. Right? Vice versa, same thing with Amy, right? And so it was this process. And here's Jesus, right? He's in a predicament because The Old Testament law says that to honor your mother and your father. It's huge. This is huge. And so there's these six jars, right? Bible tells us there's six jars there, and they're about 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus says, I want you to fill up those stone jars with water. And so the servants did so, and they filled them up. And John notes that they filled them to the brim, all the way to the top. Then Jesus said, I want you to go and I want you to dip the water out of those jars and I want you to serve it to the master of the banquet, the master of the ceremonies, and then begin to serve it to the guests. And as each cup was poured, as the water was poured into each cup, Jesus worked a miracle in that each cup of water turned into a cup of wine. This was the first miracle that Jesus ever performed. And this was a behind-the-scenes miracle that met a huge need, that met this huge need that was there. And sometimes we look at that and we go like, well, that's not one of the greatest miracles, because Jesus healed people, he rose people from the dead and all kinds of stuff. But this was a miracle that Jesus did because his mother needed help and he was honoring his mom. He was being obedient to the law. Because there's his mom. His mom felt pressure. And I can remember when my mom was under pressure, and I didn't like that. When she had something happen to her and she needed something or somebody, or she needed my dad, or something was going on, or she needed one of our sons, and I didn't like that. And here is Jesus. He says, listen, right? I know you want me to do this, but she says, listen, son. You have the ability and you have the power to do something, so will you do it? We don't have any more wine. And I don't think she was just making a statement. She is asking him to respond and do something. She's expecting something of Jesus. She needed help. And you see, when we're wrestling with problems and we're wrestling with issues and things are pressing in and your life seems to be spinning out of control, we've all been there at some place and some capacity in our life, right? I need to ask you a question. Do you expect Jesus to do anything in your life? Do you expect Jesus to do something this morning in your life? Right? Do you have an expectation? Do you have faith? I texted Tammy yesterday and I was saying we were praying for, and she says, well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to go on. And I said, do you have faith in God? She said, yes, of course I have faith. Then every step which you go through with your daughter, then you have to have faith that God is with you and that he's going to take care of you. Because it always doesn't turn out the best. Come on. Sometimes things will get worse before God makes them better. We don't like it that way, especially as parents, right? Moms, when your kids aren't doing what they're supposed to and it seems like everything's getting worse, and then you go, okay, I'm going to take a moment. I'm just going to ask God to help me with this, and all of a sudden things get better. Well, ding, 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 ding. Maybe I should have went to God first. To trust in him, to believe in him. Think about all the Bible characters who lived this out in their life. Joseph had to go to prison before he could be exalted, right? to be the second-hand man in Egypt. How about David? David had promised to be king. He was even anointed to be king. And then what happened? Saul was chasing him around all of Israel until one day he became the king. How about Peter in the New Testament? Peter had to fail before he could experience God's grace and before he could lead 3,000 people to Jesus at Pentecost. Think about that. Jesus was standing around the fire, and when he was asked, "Hey, weren't you with him?" What did he say three times? Doop, doop, doop. Nope, not me. And then after Pentecost, when the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the tongues of fire came upon him, and he went out, and the people were going, "What in the world's going on?" And he began to preach this message. At the end, all these people said, "We need Jesus." Sometimes I'd love to put a pulpit out there on the street and big megaphones and start preaching, right? They would just think I'm crazy. That's what they do today with people who stand on corners and hold signs or who actually stand on a corner and say, "Jesus is coming, you need him." Sometimes we even do that, right? Honestly, you look at people like that who are out there and they're and we go like, "That dude's crazy. That lady's crazy." He's got a letter. He hands you about Jesus. First time I was in Israel, we were walking through this area and there was this guy. And he had this outfit on to make himself look like Jesus, right? And I stood back as he was standing there and he was handing out tracts and he was talking to people. And you know, a lot of people, what they would do is they'd take a look at the tract, it was in Hebrew, and then they just throw it on the ground. And he spoke, I don't know what perfect Hebrew was, but he spoke Hebrew. It seemed to me like he spoke perfect Hebrew. When I walked up to him, I said hello, and he said hello to me, and he spoke perfect English. So I said, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "I've been called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those in Israel. Because the time is coming, Jesus is coming, and the nation of Israel needs to know about Jesus Christ." And so he came from America, and he goes and he stands in the same spot every day, right? And I asked the tour guide, I said, "Do you walk by this guy every time you do a tour?" And he said, "Oh yeah, that's the crazy guy." Right? He was called, right? Think of the moms in the Bible who were called to do exceptional things. Called. I don't know if your calling, mom, is to go out there and stand on a corner and shout, "Jesus is coming," but sometimes in our life, things get worse before God can make them better. He has to work in our life. 1 Peter 5:10 says this: "After you have suffered a little while, God will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast." How many want that feeling of strength and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? I want the strength and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I wanna feel that in my heart and my life. I want God to envelop me and so that when things happen, that I can say, "Jesus is my strength. Jesus is the one who's going to get me through this. Jesus is the one who's going to help me. Because sometimes after you've run out of money in life, or somebody's hurt you and harmed you in your heart, maybe your kids have screamed and yelled at you and told you they hated you. Ever had that happen? Oh, yeah. Yours hasn't quite got there yet. Just wait. You know how that hurts? You believe God's given you a promise, and then all of a sudden that promise isn't fulfilled, and you don't know what's going on, and you're screaming out to God. And Peter says, after you've suffered a little while, God will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. God is going to make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He's going to restore you. He's going to make you strong. You know what? Don't ever give up. It's easy to give up in life. It's easy to look around and say, well, it's time to give up. It's time to move on. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. The truth, the promise that God gives us is that after we have suffered for a little while, God is going to show up and make us stronger, and he's going to make us better. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's an amen there, right? Come on, amen. God's going to make us stronger, and he's going to make us better as we put our trust and we put our hope in him. And as we believe together and as we pray together. You see, I know with Zachary being in the hospital, and I was gone for several weeks, and we got all our prayer schedule screwed up, but we're back there praying. Doug was back there praying, waiting for the prayer team to come back there and pray with him. You know, we need to be praying for one another. We need to be able to say our God is there, and he's still alive today, because the world is out there. You know what they're saying? They're saying our God is dead. But our God is not dead. Our God is surely alive. He is surely alive. And we can't give up. We have to believe, and we have to be strong. And we have to look to Jesus for our solutions. See, what Jesus did at that wedding, he will do for us today. But you have to look to him. You have to look at him. You have to look to him for solutions. You have to look to solutions for everything we go through in life, our financial, our physical, our emotional. And we have to trust in him and not trust in the world and their solutions, because you know what the world's solutions do? They just mess you up. How many of you are tired of being messed up? I am, come on. Tired of it. We need Jesus more than ever. That's why we come together. That's why we're here. That's why we seek the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings, when we come and we worship and we come together and we hug on each other and we say, I'm glad you're here today, and we need each other. We need the strength. Amen. We need that. Because you know what? From verse 3, let me read verse 3 again. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. So from verse 3, now go to verse 10, look in your Bible. Here's the master of the ceremonies, right? A cup of water has been turned into wine. He did not know where it came from, but the servants did. And when he tasted, he called the bridegroom aside and said this in verse 10, everyone brings the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have drinking too much. But you have saved the best till now. You've saved the best. You know what? Jesus is just saving the best for us.
Amen.
See, here's the point. Things may get worse, but remember that Jesus saves the best for last. God is coming. We need to not lose sight of that. I've asked Christians, I said, do you believe that Jesus is coming back? I asked a pastor recently, I said, do you believe that Jesus is coming back? You know what he said? Just casual conversation at a little get together. And he said, well, we've been saying that for years and he hasn't come back yet. And I thought, he's lost hope that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And we have to have that hope. We can't lose sight of that. We have to believe that the best is coming. We have to hang on. We know that he's going to show up, that he's going to be here with us. See, this miracle is about putting our trust in God. Trusting him. Knowing that he wants to be with us. He wants to be there. But we have to let him be in our lives. We have to let him be there. He wants to take the stress out of our life and turn it into joy. But we got to ask him. We've got to listen. And we got to believe that he's there. Go back to verse 5. Verse 5 says this. His mother said to his servants, do whatever he tells you. Sometimes we just have to do what Jesus says, right? We must take action. In James chapter 2:17, it says, in the same way by faith, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. You see, in other words, you can come to church, you can believe all day long, but if you're not willing to put into action, we are not going to get anywhere. We have to put our faith into action. We have to believe. Because today is the day that we need to obey God. Jesus decided, okay, I'm going to listen to my mom. I'm going to obey my mom. And his first miracle happened. A miracle. A miracle happened. I give thanks to God every day because, it's easy to say, well, I trust God, but it's a lot harder to trust God when terrible things are happening in your life, right? For some of you, it's easy. It's just a natural part of who you are because you've learned how to do it, right? You've learned how to, over the years, to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens in my life. I'm going to trust God through it. And know that in the end, he has my best interest at heart. But there are others who struggle with that. And if you're strong, then you need to mentor that to others. If you're strong, moms, if there's people around you who are struggling with that, especially with their children, then mentor that. Mentor the love of Jesus Christ. Let them know that with him, you can make it through anything. Remember about a month or two, maybe it was longer now, I don't know, you know that Lisa made a Facebook post on Facebook about how God had brought her through all this stuff in life, right? And you weren't here that Sunday, but I read it. It was cool because basically what it was saying is I had to make a choice to either, and here's the hard part, follow the world and die, or follow Jesus and live. Follow the world and die, or follow Jesus and live. And she said, I chose Jesus. And you know what God is asking us to do? Is just choose Jesus. He's telling us to make that conscious effort every day. And in the times of trial and tribulation that you're going through, to take a moment and just say, God, I need you right now and I need you in this situation. You know what God does? God shows up. God shows up. You know why? Because he loves us. He loves us. And he loves you. And here's Mary at the end here, right? Everything, Jesus has listened. He's obeyed his mom. He's done this miracle. And just like that, look at, if we see how John writes this, look at verse 11. This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. You know, sometimes when people let you pray for them in their, and they begin to see and feel the glory of God as you begin to pray with your anointing over people, it changes how they believe and how they think. And we don't know the whole story here, right? Because in this short little bit where Jesus was behind the scenes, and who knows, maybe the disciples followed him around everywhere he went and they wouldn't let him out of their sight. But how do we come to the place that after Jesus performs his first miracle, that people's eyes were opened? The disciples' eyes were opened. And they put their faith in him. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for our moms here and I thank you for the guys here. They get their own day next month. So we're just going to ask you to bless our moms today. And we're going to ask that you take care of them. And that, Father God, many who have struggled through the years and have learned this process, I pray that they will use the process of putting their faith in you and help them to teach others. Teach other younger women who are struggling maybe right now. Like Tammy, God, who's struggling because her daughter has her spine is going up into her brain cavity. Or even Crystal this morning, Father, who has three kids and I know struggles. I ask that you be with her. Help her to fully put her trust in you. And any other, God, who we may know, let us be the witnesses you've called us to be so that they can see your glory revealed, that they can come to faith in you. And so I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. You're an amazing God. We love you. Will you say, let it be so? Let it be so. Amen and amen and amen. Will you stand for a moment and turn to your neighbor and give him a big hug and say, I'm glad I was here today. And then before you leave, I want you to find a guide.